Today on Moody Presents with Mark Jobe, how to stand strong spiritually in the face of paralyzing fear.
All of us need people around us that are going to help take us to the next level. You need to position yourself in a place that you say, hey, am I interacting? Am I rubbing shoulders with people that are going to push me to the next level in God?
Welcome to Moody Presents with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Have you ever been shut down by fear? I have. I'm guessing we all have. And God has given all of us work to do, and He's uniquely gifted us for it. But we can get stuck for a number of reasons, the main one being fear, plain old-fashioned fear. What was a fearful moment for you? We encourage you to stay with us now as Mark begins this empowering Moody Presents message series titled Fearless Living. And it starts in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm guessing you like stories just as much as I like stories, and Pastor Mark has one for us as this message begins. Here's Pastor Mark Jobe on Moody Presents.
I think it was first grade. I had my backpack on. I had my new school clothes on. And I went out the front door, walking a few blocks to go to school, and lo and behold, I heard this sound. And running at me at full speed, with vicious teeth showing, growls and barking, was a pack of dogs. Now, when you're 6 years old, these dogs look like elephants. I mean, they look as big as you look. And I thought, Lord, it's the end of my life. And I remember as a six-year-old boy having this pack of dogs just run up after me. And I remember standing against the wall, being frozen by fear, literally paralyzed. Not a muscle in my body would move. I mean, I stood there and closed my eyes, and these dogs came running and barking and snipping at me, and I was paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed. In fact, the very next day when it was time to go to school, I said, well, I'm not going. They said, well, you have to go to school. I said, well, I want someone to take me to school. What if I run into that pack of dogs again? Can't you drive me there? Can't you walk me there? I was convinced that if I went out there again, I would literally be eaten alive by that vicious pack of dogs. Well, my father was never one to let us get away the easy way. He was always teaching us and training us. So he said, Mark, we're not going to take you to school. No one's going to walk you to school, but you're going to face this. So he said, I have a strategy for you. You see, dogs, they feed on fear. If you run, they chase you. Have you ever noticed that? The more you scream and holler or run, then they get all bold and chase you. Well, he said, I have a strategy for you. Dogs feed on fear. So what I want you to do is I want you to whistle and walk. If you see that pack of dogs coming after you, what I want you to do is just start whistling, and I want you to keep on walking, not run, don't slow down, don't speed up. I want you to whistle and walk. So sure enough, about the third day that I was walking to school again, I was minding my own business, walking down the block to go to my school, and I heard the frightening sound of this vicious pack of dogs coming at me again. And I glanced out of the peripheral of my eye, and I saw them coming. And have you ever tried to whistle when you're scared? It doesn't come out very good. It didn't really sound like a whistle. It sounded more like... But anyways, I tried to whistle, and in my mind I said, Mark, whistle and walk, whistle and walk. So I was going... Whistle and walking. Sure enough, those dogs came up and they were barking and snipping at me. But you know what? I walked right through the middle of the pack. And when I got to the other end, I realized, hey, that wasn't that bad. And from that day on, when those dogs came after me, you know what? I just whistled and walked, and I overcame the paralyzing effect of fear. Well, Some of you may be able to relate to what it means to be paralyzed by fear. 2 Timothy is a book that tackles our fears. And as you turn to 2 Timothy, as we begin reading in verse 1, I want to just introduce you to the background of this book. You see, this is the last letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. He wrote it to his young apprentice named Timothy. In fact, Paul had been in prison, if you remember. Paul was in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians. He was under house arrest. Well, he had been released, apparently, and he had been caught and imprisoned again a second time, but this time it wasn't house arrest. This time it was more of a severe kind of imprisonment that he was facing. Paul is at the end of his life. He's fought the fight. He's lived his life. There's probably only months before Paul would be executed and put to death. And so he's writing the last letter that we ever know of Paul to his young apprentice, Timothy. It's a very personal letter. It's a letter that expresses a lot of emotion. It's a letter where Paul is pouring out the final bits of wisdom inspired by the Holy Spirit to help this young apprentice, Timothy, succeed. Now, we know that this was written about 64 or so, 65 AD. And let me tell you what was happening at that time. Paul had been released from his first imprisonment, and there was an emperor by the name of Nero. Those of you that are history buffs may recall his name. He was like the crazy Roman emperor. In fact, there was a fire in which a lot of Rome was burned. And the people of Rome began to revolt against Nero because there was rumors that Nero had set the city of Rome on fire. And the people were protesting and revolting. And so to distract attention from him, Nero did what a lot of politicians do. He blamed it on somebody else. And he blamed it on a group of people that most people thought were kind of strange and cultic and sectarian and separated from the rest of the people. He blamed it on these folks called Christians. And so Nero unleashed a persecution like Christians had never known before. In fact, history tells us that Nero, some of the things that he did is he crucified hundreds and hundreds of Christians at that time. Some were wrapped in skin of wild beasts and let loose and hunted by wild dogs to be killed. Others were wrapped in pitch. And for lighting up his circus, I'm told history books say that there were hundreds of Christians that were put on poles, tied to poles, tarred, and then lit on fire, and they illuminated the circus that Nero had. This vicious, cruel persecution was unleashed against anybody that was a follower of Jesus. And it was during that time that the Apostle Paul also was arrested and now finds himself in prison waiting his martyrdom. Young Timothy. What do we know about Timothy? Well, some of you remember Timothy because he's listed in other books of the Bible. But what we know about Timothy is that he was Paul's young apprentice. He was the guy that in Philippians, Paul says, I have no one like Timothy. I mean, there's no one like Timothy who has a heart for people, who really is looking out for the best interest of others. But Timothy had some issues. How many of you know we all have issues? You have issues, I have issues, she has issues, he has issues, we all have issues. Timothy had some issues. One of the issues that Timothy had is that he was very sickly. He was the guy that was always getting sick. It says he has a weak stomach, and Paul mentions his frequent stomach ailments. He was the guy that would encounter a situation or go on a trip and they'd have to say, hey, get the barf bag because Timothy needs it. It's a bad scenario. Timothy also had a problem with fear. We know from this passage and other passages that Timothy had a timid personality. And it seems to be that Timothy would be intimidated by other people. He was young, so he was intimidated by people that looked down on his youth. He was also intimidated by philosophers of the age that would argue religion with them. And it seems to be that his timid personality would cause him to withdraw from the leadership positions that God had called him to. In fact, a lot of 2 Timothy is written to young Tim to get him out of his position of fear. And so I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1 as we look at what it means to not let ourselves get stuck by fear. Verse 1, the Apostle Paul introduces himself and says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the purpose of life that is in Christ Jesus." Paul introduces himself and says, "Hey, I'm an apostle. And I've been," apostle means one that's called or sent with a mission. "I'm apostle of Jesus Christ, and I didn't choose to be an apostle. God called me to this calling. According to the promise of life, the gospel that is in Christ Jesus." Who's the letter to? It's to young Timothy. He says, "Timothy, my dear son," or literally, "my beloved son. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." That was a typical Greek introduction, and a lot of Paul's letters start off with that introduction. And now in verse 3, he really gets into the heart of the letter. This is where he starts to talk to Timothy about the issues that he's facing.
We're focusing on fears today in this new series on Moody Presents. And you know, if you're a regular listener, you've observed every single week we look at a significant topic, a significant spiritual challenge, something to guard you, guide you in your faith. And if this ministry means something to you, could we encourage you to head to our website, moodypresents.org, and click on the Donate Now button. Maybe you'd like to consider becoming a monthly partner. Boy, we'd appreciate that. And with your gift of $30 a month or more, you'll enjoy a 50% ongoing discount from the entire line of Moody Publishers products. Check it out at moodypresents.org. Well, let's head back to today's message with our teacher, Dr. Mark Jobe. Grab your notepad. There's stuff you're going to want to write down.
And if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. I believe that we all get stuck by fear at one time or another in our life. And if you are struggling with fear in your life, there are 4 questions that I want you to ask yourself today that will help determine whether you can get out of your fear or not. Question number 1, is your life being mentored? Write that down. Notice what it tells us in verse 3. The Apostle Paul was mentoring young Timothy. It says, "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did." Now, the apostles' parents weren't Christians, but they were Jewish people that had faith in God, and they followed God the way that they understood him at that time. And he says, Paul says, "I follow God with a clear conscience, as night and day I consistently remember you in my prayers." I want you to notice Paul's heart for young Timothy. He calls him beloved. He says, "I remember you night and day in my prayers." And else, there's not a day that goes by, Timothy, that I don't pray for you. Notice what else he says. Verse 4, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that my joy may be filled." Paul says, you see, the last time that Paul had seen Timothy, we find that listed in Acts chapter 20, verse 37. The last time that Paul had seen Timothy, Timothy was crying, hugging him and crying him because he thought he would never see him again. And Paul says, "Hey, when I remember you, Timothy, I remember how you embraced me. And I looked at your face and tears were streaming down your face." This is the kind of relationship that Paul and Timothy had together. He says, I recall your tears, and I long to see you so that my joy may be filled. And as Timothy, I miss you a lot, And when I see you, I'm going to be so excited and so happy to see you. Man, you have a place in my heart. You have a special place within my heart. Here's what I know about Paul and Timothy's relationship. That Paul was like a spiritual father to young Timothy. Now, I want you to make a note of this. I believe that we all need mentors to help us go to the next level. You know, some of you, when you started out in sports, you didn't really know how to throw a football. And maybe you were a skinny little guy and you didn't want to try out for the football team because you thought, I've seen some really big guys out there and they're going to make a sandwich out of me. But maybe you had a coach that said, hey, I'm going to train you. And I'm going to teach you how to avoid those tackles. And you have some speed, and he worked with you, and he trained you, and he helped you overcome your fear so that you became a good player. Maybe some of you were in school, and you weren't doing too well, but you found a tutor. And that tutor taught you how to tackle math that intimidated you. And you used to look at a page with a bunch of numbers and say, I paralyze you. But your tutor taught you how to break it down, how to do division and algebra and geometry, and they helped you overcome your fear so that you became good at math. Or maybe you started in a business, and when you first started, you knew nothing about that business. In fact, you were intimidated about failing in that business, but you found a business partner that said, I will teach you the ropes of this business. I'm going to teach you the tricks of the trade. And you watch that person as he trained you and showed you how to conduct this business. And when you ran into a problem, it was this person that would help you out. That's called a mentor. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just nod your head. We've all had mentors in life. Some of you remember when you first started out spiritually. Do you remember the person that first talked to you about God? And that person that explained the things of God to you and prayed for you and said, hey, let's go to church together, and broke down the word. And when you first got your new Bible and they said, well, let's look at Timothy. And you said, Timothy, where's that? And remember, you didn't even know that there was chapter and verses back then. And you didn't know that there was an Old Testament and a New Testament. To you, it was just one big book and you were intimidated by it. But someone coached you and they helped you out and they trained you so that you lost your fear of the Bible. And finally, you found yourself becoming a student of the Bible. That's called a mentor. And I believe that all of us, unless we have mentors in our life, we tend to get stuck by things that we're afraid of. And I believe it was the Apostle Paul that was helping Timothy not get stuck. I think of my own life. And as I look back over my own life, in my early days, the person with the greatest influence on my life was my father. I remember when I first started pastoring the church, I didn't know how to do a lot of things. I wasn't married. And I remember running into counseling situations. And I was thinking, I'm not sure I'm going to know how to handle this. And I know that there's a bracelet that says WWJD. What would Jesus do? How many of you have seen that? But you know what? I wasn't that spiritual at the time. Because in my mind, it was WWDD. What would Dad do? And I remember encountering situations and I would ask myself, I wonder what Dad would do now. And you know, that really helped me out. In fact, Dad came to help out at New Life for about a year and a half. In fact, I was pastoring and we begged him to come on staff for a little while. And he came on staff. Think about that. Your father, and officially, he was working under me. That was kind of intimidating. But I'll never forget sitting down with Dad as a young pastor, and he sat with me across the table, and he said, Mark, I want to tell you something. There is no man that I would rather work under than you. And he went on for a half hour and explained how he thought I had a call of God upon my life and how he knew that I was gifted and how I knew the word and how I was a godly man. And he went on and on. And after I remember walking out of that room thinking, wow, I can do this. Man, I can make it. I think I can really lead here. Why? Because he took the time as a mentor to help me overcome my fears. All of us here need mentors. It doesn't have to be an official mentoring relationship, but all of us need people around us that are going to help take us to the next level. You need to position yourself in a place that you say, hey, am I interacting? Am I rubbing shoulders with people that are going to push me to the next level in God? You can either get around people that are going to pull you down, hey, or you can get around people that are going to push you up. It is your choice. So the first question I want you to answer is this. Are you in a place where you are being mentored in one way or another? The second question I want you to ask yourself comes out of verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now, this is an interesting phrase. The second question I want you to ask yourself is this. Is your faith staying real? This word sincere is an interesting word. We get our English word sincere faith. We get it from the Latin. And in the Latin, it really means without wax. In fact, those of you that speak Spanish, how many Spanish people that know some Spanish do we have here? All right, when we want to say a person is sincere, we say, es una persona sincera. The word sin means without, and thera means wax. They are a person without wax. You say, well, that's a weird expression. Well, what's that all about? Well, the word in the Greek actually means unfeigned, undisguised, sincere, which means this. It was actually a word that they would use in the marketplace in those days. In fact, if a Greek person decided that they were going to go to the marketplace and buy a sculpture, well, when you went to buy a statue, you would ask the sculpture or the owner of the shop, is this statue sincere? Because what happened in the Greek culture is that if the sculptor was sculpturing a statue of Nero and he happened to have a slip of his hammer and knock off the finger of the statue, he wouldn't throw the statue away. What he would do is he would take a little wax and he would put that wax under the finger and he would paste that finger back on the statue so it looked like it had never been broken. Once you got that statue and put it in your backyard, all your friends are over having a good barbecue, thinking, that's a great statue of Nero, and the sun starts beating. And after a while being in the sun, suddenly Nero's finger falls off. Why? Because the statue is not sincere without wax. It is something that's been covered up. It's not the real thing. Paul says to Timothy, I am convinced that your faith is the real thing. Now, let's remember this about Timothy. We know from other passages in Scripture that Timothy, for example, he was from a mixed marriage. And by a mixed marriage, I mean that his mother was a Jewish person and his father was an unbelieving Greek person. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish culture or about the Old Testament, the Bible says that that was forbidden. It was forbidden for a Jew to marry a non-Jewish person. Nonetheless, she had married an unbelieving Gentile. And Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, what I see in you is real. And I want you to keep it real. Because if you don't keep your faith real, if you're not vulnerable and authentic and real with people, then you will be paralyzed and not keep growing in your life. People that face their fears are people that are real about how they're doing in life and how they're growing in life and what's going on in their life.
We're off to a great start in this new message series here on Moody Presents. I'm looking forward to next week. We got a great email from Keith. Can I share it with you? He says, I was especially encouraged by your sermon, Squeezing God Out of a Dream Gone Bad. My sister and brother still don't know Christ, but I'm learning again and again how Joseph serves as an example of perseverance and faithfulness. Thank you for pointing out the word. Well, Keith, we're going to pray for you right now. Join me, won't you? Lord, we think of Keith and his love for his sister and brother who don't know you. We ask by your Holy Spirit that you would move in their hearts, open their eyes, unstop their ears, draw them to your saving self. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, our Fearless Living series will continue. I'm John Gager, hoping you'll be with us then. Hey, we'd love to get an email from you. You can write us anytime at moodypresents@moody.edu. Our time is gone. Thanks for listening to Moody Presents, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.